Just make sure we're here.
All right, it is 5:30. We're going to call the joint Human Services Board, Human Services Committee budget meeting to order. All right, we did do roll call for the Human Services Committee. All supervisors are present. Did the Human Services Board do roll call as well? Do you need to take roll call for them or? Okay, no problem. All right, just as a quick reminder for tonight's meeting, whenever a supervisor is called on to speak, please make sure you hit the button on the microphones in front of you so that the room, everyone in the room can hear, as well as Kathy can hear afterwards as well for the notes. With that, I will move on to citizens' comments. Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Any citizens wishing to speak tonight? Last call. All right, seeing none, citizen comment are closed. We are now going to move on to the presentation and approval of the 2024 Department of Human Services budget and third quarter update. We will be going by department on each of these, and we will go by section. We'll have the Human Services Board and Human Services Committee vote on these as we go. So with that, I will hand it over to Tammy and John.
I just want to remind folks that when you're using the microphones, if it's new to you, you have to press that little talk button on there. When you're done speaking, please turn that off. Then you should be able to hear what's being said through your speakers. So thank you.
And position the mic so it's quite close to your face. It works the best. Thank you.
Talk button on the right. Testing.
All right, so this first page is our human services overview. For 2024, we are proposing a $497,000 increase to our levy, which is 2.5%. We also show where this funding is coming from. So our federal bucket is the 40.8%. Our state bucket is 27.75%, and grants is 1.5%, 2%, and the levy is at 19%. Overall, for Kenosha County, the health insurance is remaining the same as 2023, so singles at 11,140, families at 25,690. Also, countywide, we had the class and comp and annual increase. And for human services, that equated to $1.7 million. Also, what you'll find in the detailed pages is we've added a 3% provider increase. Most of them are 3%, but not all. So there are some that got increases last year, and there are some that had inflation costs for nonprofits that we had to increase either for health insurance or a wage increase, but for the majority it was a 3% increase overall. We have a new slide director today, Danny Bautista over here. Danny, if you go to the next slide. So this year I changed the format as to what I'm presenting. We did send this off on Friday, so everyone had a chance ahead of time to review anything. We still have all the detailed pages in there, but we are going to be going over the summary pages. And this is to show overall of different changes and how it affects everything. Instead of like starting up in FTEs, going to expense, then seeing the revenue, you'll find it all going across to the right. So the first column for Brookside and Willowbrook is a reserves, change in reserves column. The second column is the expense, if it's increased or decreased. The next one is if there's any revenue associated with that line item. And then the next one is any FTEs associated with that same line item. So it's really to kind of simplify. The bottom still ties to the detail, and then the section down below is there's a miscellaneous of all other stuff. So we're just really hitting on the major things that affected our budget for 2024.
See, Tammy, can I ask a question just so I understand it?
Yes.
So the reserve column for Brookside, you show $225,711 in brackets.
Yep. So that's an increase.
Does that mean that you're budgeting, that it'll be a surplus the way you're, okay, that answers my question.
So I know it's kind of confusing because it's in brackets, but I followed how it is in the budget book, so it's just easier to go that same direction. Also, under each facility name, you'll see what page numbers that is in the big budget book as well. So yeah, so the brackets for reserves means we're adding into the reserves. Any other questions on that format? All right, with that, we will start with Brookside Care Center. So we have an expense decrease of 1.2 million, 5.84%, revenue increase of 290,000, 1.4%, bonding decreased, obviously that's as needed projects, and our reserves increase of 225,000. So the first section we're talking about is the staff recruitment and retention. So for Brookside, the class and comp adjustment with the annual increase equated to $510,000. We're also proposing a dollar premium pay for the life enrichment staff who have a CNA license. That is $13,000. We're also requesting a dollar premium pay for an environmental services worker lead. So if they're leading, they would get a dollar an hour extra, and that's $2,400. The admissions director is retiring end of June, so we put in $20,000 for succession planning. The second item is the state budget increases. So the state has increased the Medicaid rate for long-term care facilities. We are seeing, we projected for 2023, $246 a day. Now for 2024, we've got $392 a day. This is a 59% increase. However, with this increase, we are also eliminating the supplemental payment, which is the federal portion that covers the shortfall. So the state is now covering the cost of care. Then we have improved stability and efficiencies by focusing on the long-term resident admissions. We are defunding a third shift nursing supervisor. So this means we will have that shift or that position defunded, as well as the 19.2 CNAs. We are focusing on long-term care, and with that we need less staff. The changes to revenue, we decreased our Medicare B, $125,000. Our private pay, what we're budgeting per day, we decreased from 38 to 35, which is a $435,000 decrease. Medicare A and Advantage, we decreased from 36 to 22. That was a $3.1 million decrease in revenue and a $646,000 decrease in expenses. Medicaid, we increased from 47 to 64, and that was a $2.4 million increase in revenue. And then managed care remains the same. So all of these changes to our revenue and really going to a long-term focus is increasing, or is a decrease in our reserve of $485,000. The next section is sustain financial independence. So our private pay, we increased it $10. So currently it's at $390 per day. We increased it to $400 a day. Our managed care rate, we increased from $435 a day. We're now contracted at $450 a day. And then last year we had ARPA in the budget that we no longer need, and that was $185,000. There is one clerical error in the budget book that was presented, and they put the offset for this medical insurance to the interdepartmental. That will actually add to our reserves $94,000. We have an increase for Unidyne dietary provider of $122,000. We're seeing higher expenses in our laundry services, so that's an increase of $55,000. Our capital bonding is a decrease, and then cafe meals is trending lower, so we have a decrease of $35,000. The census that we are budgeting is the same that we budgeted 23, so it's a total of 128 per day. And right now, with what we're proposing, it is a profit of $640,000. That would be how much would be added to the reserves. Questions on Brookside?
Through the chair to Tammy, do you need approval for that clerical error or no?
I was told it was just going to be adjusted at the end with the final book. I'm looking at Patty for a yes or a no. It wasn't really it was a mistake on the county exec adjustments, and Matt said it would just be fixed with the final budget. Yeah.
So you don't need a motion. Okay. That's.
Any other questions? Supervisor Gentz.
The census of 128, what is our max?
154.
And why are we at 128 when we can do 154?
So it started with COVID, and then it went to staffing, and now we are focusing on long-term care beds. So of the 154, 130 is going to be designated for long-term care, and the 130, the long-term care is averaging 600 to 700 days per resident. That's their length of stay. The short-term rehab is averaging about $15 days a stay. So with this focus on the long-term, those beds will stay filled the majority of the time. So we just changed that focus about a month ago. And today we are at 131. So we're starting to see consistently the census going up and being more stable.
Are you seeing an increase in people wanting to come there for long-term care? I mean, we're obviously shifting in that direction. Are our efforts to go out and find people for those niches, is that increasing as well?
Yes, so we did an open house. We did some ads in the paper. It's still, I think the community is still figuring that out. So historically, we've always been full, and we didn't really have openings in the long-term care, or we had to balance out the Medicaid residents because the Medicaid rate didn't pay for itself. So I think it's still newer to the community knowing that we have open beds, but we have been diligently advertising as well as having an open house. So if you were to look at our census month to month, you'd see that increasing.
Yeah, and I think word of mouth will help too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the committees? All right, so do we need to approve this now, or do you have more to present on Brookside?
Nope, that's it for Brookside.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would move approval.
All right, we have a move for approval by Supervisor Kirsten, second by Supervisor Nidowski. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Human Services Board.
Aye.
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 All right, all votes are unanimous. And we will now move on to Willowbrook?
Yep.
Okay, it's out of order on my agenda.
All right, so for Willowbrook, that's our assisted living facility, 24 bed. We have an increase in expenses, 2.7%, increase in revenue, 5.5%. And adding to the reserves, almost $51,000. So the profit we are budgeting is a $51,000 profit. Their big sections is the staff recruitment and retention. So their class and comp adjustment with the annual increase was $41,000. We are requesting $10,000 more in the overtime bucket, and we are requesting to reclass the resident engagement assistance from an NE2 to an NE3, which is $2,800. Their section for sustain financial independence, we increased the rate of 5% increase to offset inflation, so that equated to $135,000. In our census, we're remaining at the 23.5, which is where we are for 2023, and we're pretty much on point the whole year with that. We also had ARPA in the 2023 budget we do not need for 2024, so that's the reduction of $40,000. Dietary had an increase of 3.8%, and the capital, last year we had some washing machines and dryers that we needed, so that's that reduction of $7,600. And then everything else is miscellaneous. Any questions on Willowbrook?
Okay, we have a motion to approve from Supervisor Gentz, second from Supervisor Juhas. Any further discussion? All right, all in favor of the approval of the Willowbrook Assisted Living budget?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And Human Services Board?
Aye.
Okay, all votes are unanimous. I believe we move on to Office of the Director.
Office of the Director. Their expenses, we're looking for an increase of $169,000. Revenue, an increase of $38,000. And the levy is an increase of $130,000. So of this, the class and comp adjustment was $31,000 added to our budget. And then we are funding the Assistant Human Services Director position, and that's $128,000. The $38,000 is additional funding that we can draw down for the additional expenses. And then we have the 3% provider increase of $6,800. Any questions on Office of the Director?
I just like to say I really like the new format.
Thank you.
Thank you for the effort.
Okay, any other questions from the committee? All right, we have a motion first from Supervisor Gearson, second from Supervisor Stocker. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Human Services Board?
Aye.
Okay, all votes are unanimous.
Central Services, we are looking for an increase in expenses of $15,000. Our revenue is an increase of $563. So the Central Services is split into two sections. One is the Job Center building here, which covers itself. We charge that out to the renters and the divisions. And then the other part is the County Mail Services. So the increase of the $15,000 is an increase in the postage account of $10,000 and a 3% provider increase of almost $4,800. The Job Center building costs, we had to increase the 3% provider increase $26,000, and then we increased to the allocation to the divisions, and then we have a tenant that's taking some additional space, that's the $563. And that's it for Central Services. Any questions on Central Services?
One question. Oh, sorry.
Kirsten, go ahead.
Through the chair to Tammy. Can you just refresh my memory, the purchase service admin of $587,000 and
$614,000? What's that for? Are you looking in the mail services?
Yeah, page 15.
Yeah, so we contract with Goodwill to...
Yeah.
Actually do the mail services. So it's not an employee, there's no employees
right.
in the mail services.
So that $600,000 goes to Goodwill? It's 571760, $614,037, if I'm reading it right.
Are you on page 17?
I'm on page, well.
Towards the bottom of page 16, I believe, in our spiral bound book here.
Yeah.
Line 4.
That's total for the building services and the mailroom.
Yeah. Okay, so what is that?
So that's the building cost here. So we do have some Goodwill contracts in there. Jaquetta, what else is in that line? The answering center, right?
So we,
the call messaging center.
We contract for custodial.
General reception. The safety coordinators.
Okay.
Yeah, it is all Goodwill.
So it's all,
but
it all goes,
that are in there.
It all goes to Goodwill. It covers custodial.
Custodial,
it covers
security.
Security.
The answering message center,
okay. All right,
and
good.
The general reception.
That answered my question. Thank you.
Not custodial. That comes through Public Works.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would be in the cost allocation section.
All right, thank you. I had a motion to approve from Supervisor Gentz. Second from Supervisor Kubicki. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of the Central Services budget, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And Human Services Board.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, all ayes.
All right, so the next section is the Division of Workforce Development. We have a levy decrease of $66,000. Their expenses is an increase of $475,000, and their revenue is an increase of $541,000. So in their budget, their class and comp adjustment and annual increase is $290,000. They have an economic support specialist senior, which is replacing a quality control contracted position. So we're taking a position that we contracted out to a county position, that's $91,000 increase in expense, but then right below it, you see the quality control contract position is a decrease of $101,000, almost $102,000, and then you see that FTE, the 1.0. We have some funding changes, so they've been awarded a grant, a WINS grant, Wisconsin Network for Safety. So you'll see an expense increase of $106,000 and a revenue increase of $106,000. The access and visitation grant is ended, so you'll see a decrease in the expenses for $44,000 and a decrease in the revenue for $40,000. We have additional federal funding for child support of $95,000. Additional federal funding for the WIOA program, $29,000. Additional federal funding for the income maintenance, $94,000. So the child support and the income maintenance, as we have more expenses, we can draw down more. And that's why you see that 66% and 50% in there. That's their match portion. We did receive, the next section is a 3% provider increase, which is expense increase of $66,000. Revenue, we're able to draw down $25,000. With the state budget this year, the DWD program did receive some additional funding in the child support area, and that was $170,000. The SHARES grants, we have an additional $50,000 on that line item, being funded by ARPA for $50,000. We have in here the income maintenance food share drug testing. So that had ceased for COVID. That's added back into the budget for $3,000. The liability insurance allocation was an increase of $13,000, and then you see our revenue increase to cover that, $6,500. And then their building cost allocation for this building, expenses increased of $8,600, and the revenue offsetting that is increased of $4,300. Questions on the workforce development?
Supervisor Gatz.
I also love this new format, by the way. But under one, staff recruitment and retention, we have a levy increase of 279. I don't necessarily see how that, where that is. I mean, is that an accumulation of all the other revenues?
Yes.
on the right that come in the columns below it?
That is the expense of the 290, the 90, and then the credit of 101,000. So everything in the gray section below it is added up to that total. And that's what it, how it affected our levy. So our levy increased 279,000 on those three figures below.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions from the committee? Supervisor Gersten.
The chair to Tammy. So the child support revenue of 170,000, were we the first county to submit a resolution requesting that that be increased? I remember we did that. And I know we worked with Dustin on that.
So. Dustin, can you answer that
for us? Yeah, we weren't the first. About 40 counties did do that resolution, not every county. But it passed, and it was in the governor's budget, and it did get voted in the budget. So I do thank you guys very much for that.
I was happy to write the budget motion.
Any other questions from the committee? All right, seeing none, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Kirsten. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Human Services Board?
Aye.
Aye. All votes are aye.
All right, so the next division is the Division of Veterans Services. Their expense proposed increase is 91,000 or 22.3%. Their revenue remains the same at the 14,300. So total levy increase proposed for 2024 is $90,930. In this section, their class and comp adjustment with the annual increase is $14,000. And then we are requesting a 1.0 veteran benefits specialist, which is $67,000, and that 1.0 FTE. And we are also requesting a reclass of the one position that's labeled a Veterans Benefit Representative to a Veterans Benefits Specialist. It's, they need more certifications to be able to handle more of our claims for veterans. And that's almost $6,000. Any questions on the veteran services?
I have one. Do we have any other veterans benefit specialists currently, or is this a, is that, are those duties currently being shared by the staff that we have on staff now? Is this an additional specialist, or is this a new position altogether?
Oh, no. The reclass or the one above it?
The new headcount.
The new headcount. There's a new additional one. We did add it in 2023, but we had funding to offset it, and now we're requesting that to be a permanent position.
Okay, because I thought I saw this one last year, too. So this is that same one that we had last year.
We had some additional state funding that was temporary, and we put them in to help, but we're finding now we need it to be full-time and permanent in the budget.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Supervisor Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to the Veterans Director. Are they here?
Yes, Jennifer Blasi is...
Hello, I'm the interim veteran.
Hi, Jennifer. Question for you. I'd like to know, how many claims would you say were processed this past year?
I'm sorry, I do not have a specific number on the claims that were processed. I can tell you with the PATH Act, the recent legislation, a whole other class of veterans and their dependents have been made eligible for dependents, and the claims themselves have become much more complex and in need of much more a higher level of research and expertise.
Okay, so my question to you is, since there is such an increase as far as veterans needing help with these claims and the how intricate these claims are going to be. Would it be more helpful to have two of these specialists instead of just the one with these claims? Would there be enough work for two specialists?
At this point, I don't, one would be sufficient. The addition of one specialist would be sufficient at this point in time. I guess we can just evaluate that as time goes on next year if we need to.
Okay, and then if you could at some point in time, would you be able to email those numbers as far as the claims that have been processed this year to the board so we have an idea as to how many claims?
I will do my best. In the past, honestly, we have not kept track of all the claims that were submitted because we just haven't kept track of that. We've kept track of more of the dollars, that sort of thing. I mean, and the veterans served, phone calls, that sort of thing. We have not exactly kept a number of the exact number of claims that have been filed.
Okay, because my concern is I know how small your department is and how well-informed your employees are, but I also feel that there is a lot of work that is going to be coming to your division with these Camp Lejeune and other classes of lawsuits that are going to be going out there. And I just want to make sure that you're fully staffed to handle these claims.
Just to be clear, we do not help people in filing the lawsuits. That is a totally separate action. We just file the disability claims.
Okay. But on, based on what they've experienced.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the committee? All right, seeing none, is there a motion for the approval of the Veteran Services?
Second.
Who had that? I'm sorry. Supervisor Gearston, motion. Supervisor Stocker had the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Human Services Board?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, all ayes.
All right, next section is the Office of the Medical Examiner. This one overall, we're looking for a levy decrease of $10,000. We have an expense increase of $66,000, a revenue increase of $21,000, and we did have in the 5 year to replace their van, a 2012 Chevy cargo van for $55,000 is what we have in the budget. Their staff recruitment and retention, the class comp adjustment and annual increase was $7,300. They had a medical insurance. Normally I don't do the medical insurance from single to family, but this one just made up most of it. So that was a $15,000 decrease. We increased the budgeted autopsies from 146 to 157, the regular ones, and then we still have pediatric at 4. So that was an increase to the expense of $19,800. And then we are allowed to increase the fee revenue by the consumer price index annually, so that increase equated to $21,000. Any questions on the Office of the Medical Examiner?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Juhas, second by Supervisor Kubicki. Any discussion? Supervisor Gentz.
What is our current total right now of the autopsies that we've done? I mean, what's leading us to these numbers?
So for 2023, we budgeted 146. Right now we're at 115, which we're straight lining is 153. So I think when we budgeted in 2023, we were not trending that high. So we brought the budget down, but now we're back up. Now 2022, we were at 152. But 2021, we were at 127. So we're kind of trying to keep up with it, you know, as it fluctuates. From 2021 to 2023, the accidental deaths increased about 30, and it looks like the majority of that was in Texas City, so that would be our overdose section.
Okay, well, that answers my question. I'd like to also go back through the chair, if we could have a report at the, after the, in the first quarter on the claims for veterans, where we're at with that. I know that we're not discussing it now, and I'm not making any motions about it, but I'd just like to, if somebody could make a note to put that on our agenda, I would appreciate knowing how they're doing in that area. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I just had a quick question about the van. Did we purchase the van in 2012 and it's lasted until now, or?
Correct.
And then how, what's our expected lifespan of what we're purchasing?
So they have two vans in their fleet. The other one was an 07. We replaced that 2 years ago, I believe, but it took like a year to get it. So it took a long time to put the order in to get it and then to get it retrofitted. We have an issue right now with the governmental discount for the vans. So we had actually put this in the budget for 23, but the price was so much that we put it off to 24. The cost, it's not the cost of the van that's high, it's the government discount because there's no inventory, so that discount hasn't increased back to normal. So because we have two vans, we're kind of waiting for that discount to get back up there once there's more inventory, and then we are looking to purchase it. So it might not even happen in 2024. It's all depending on, we're not desperate for it, but we have that ability. But if the lead time is a year and then it takes time to retrofit, we wanted to have it in there. It is, it's older, I would, you know, 10 years old, and we are seeing maintenance issues with it, so.
And with that, is that discount giving, are we saving like $5,000, $10,000? Is it somewhere in that range?
No, I feel like it was $15,000 or $16,000.
Okay, so substantial. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Human Services Board?
Aye.
Okay, all ayes.
All right, so our next division is our Health Services Division. Their expense increase is $532,000 or 5.4%, and a revenue increase of $160,000 or 2%. And the levy increase we are requesting is $373,000. In this section, we have our staff recruitment and retention. So the class and comp adjustment and annual increase for the Health Division was $390,000. We are requesting to replace a clinic nurse practitioner, E12, with a nursing supervisor, E11. That is a decrease in the expenses of $3,300. We are also requesting to replace a home visiting public health nurse, NE11, with a public health strategist, E6. That's a decrease of $16,000. And replace a public health tech NE8 with a laboratory tech NE10, and that would be an increase of $6,000. We are also proposing to transfer the POUTS system program to Public Works. So that would be a transfer of a 1.0 environmental health tech and a 0.5 environmental sanitarian over into the Public Works budget, as well as the revenue that we can draw down for POUTS, $70,000, that would be transferred over to the Public Works Department. The funding changes that the Health Division has, we were awarded a public health infrastructure grant, $442,000. It's a five-year grant that has already, the 5 years has already started. So we have $110,000 in there for 2024. We have some specific, health-specific ARPA funding still to draw down for 2024. So you'll see an expense increase of $275,000 and a revenue increase of $393,000. We have some COVID funding that has ended. So you'll see a decrease in the expenses, $264,000, decrease in the revenue, $357,000. The SAMHSA grant, we had some 2023 carryover, so the removal of that is a decrease in expense of $26,000 and a decrease in the revenue of $42,000. ASMA, we have a budgeted increase in volume, so you'll see an expense increase of $39,000, a revenue increase of $50,000. The nurse family partnership, we have an increase in expenses, $47,000, an increase in revenue, $60,000, increase in revenue, $76,000. The HUD grant, we start a new term. They're a three-year, and we have $47,000 increase for expense and $97,000 increase for revenue. The WIC program, we have a $19,000 increase for expense and $16,000 increase for revenue. So all of these funding changes decreased our levy $195,000. And we have a provider increase for fiscal services, $92,000. The city contribution that we are phasing out, the portion that the city used to pay us, we are phasing out $100,000 each year until that's gone. So that's the $100,000 reduction. We have a maintenance increase for some new lab equipment for $16,000. We have some vehicle leases that are due for renewal. That's an increase of $9,400. Liability insurance allocation increase of $6,100. And we eliminated office space or clinic space over at the WIC office, and that is a credit of $8,000 to the expenses. Questions on health?
Supervisor Uhas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to Tammy. Can you tell me, Tammy, with the transfer of the private on-site wastewater treatment systems with the health tech and the environmental sanitarian, when they're transferred over to Public Works, who are they going to be under? Who is going to be their boss?
Andy Bueller.
Andy Bueller. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Nadolski.
Can you speak in detail more about line four, please?
Yes. So we contract with Andrea and Orndorff. They have sat down with Patty and I, renegotiating over the rates. In the health division, all the accounting staff are contracted with Andrea and Orndorff, which is one fiscal manager, two staff accountants, and a Medicaid reimbursement specialist. And part of this $92,000, not all of it is an increase in the rates. There is a portion for the reimbursement specialist. Part of her salary was going to the Children and Family Services, but now she predominantly is all health and doesn't do a section in the health in the DCFS world. So part of that is putting that back to actuals and putting her stuff back in there, which is a credit on the DCFS side.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Supervisor, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Tammy again, and possibly to the health division. Again, on the POUTs, years ago, this was with planning. Even planning was its own department then, and then it got consolidated into Public Works, and then it was seen as more efficient moving it to health. And these are the staff that check out your septics and wells and that type of thing, if that's my recall, and they'll certify it. And it's probably a real high-level explanation of what they do, but why is it seen more efficient now to transfer it back to Public Works or to the Division of Planning?
I believe they have such a close working relationship with Andy Bueller and the staff over there that it just made more sense to have that stronger connection and supervision provided by Andy. Their offices are out at the county center. All the work is done, for the most part, west of the eye. It was something that's been contemplated for the last several years, but it finally made the budget request this year.
So we don't lose any efficiency by doing that?
No.
No lost efficiency?
Correct.
Good, just thank you.
Supervisor Gunz.
So class and comp, 390,000 we were off on that? We're pumping that into here from the, wow.
So the health division, unlike the other divisions, most of their staff, with the exception of the physical staff, is actually county staff and not contracted. So that hit their budget a little bit harder. And with the health division, which is different than our aging disability and our DCFS and DWD budgets, we don't have additional funding to draw down. Their funding is pretty capped. So it was hard for that division to find stuff. Now, we did get lucky with that infrastructure grant that helped us immensely. But for the most part, their funding is capped. It's a certain amount and that's it. So we didn't have extra funding to draw down.
Okay, so the HUD 3-year grant here,
mm-hmm.
is it, are these numbers 47 and 97,000? Are they 1 year of the three or is that all three?
So with the HUD, there's always getting stuff ready to apply for it, getting the grant going, and then at the end you find a lot of hurrying up and getting it closed out and spending stuff. So a lot of times there's a volume change when the term changes. So I don't foresee that being every year. Maybe when the grant starts and when the grant ends. So every 3 years you should see a change.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Nedweski.
Thank you again. Could you tell us a little bit more about that infrastructure grant, please?
Sure. So, in 2022, the CDC awarded $3.84 billion through the states. The intent was a one-time investment that supports critical health infrastructure needs to public health departments. The grant's intent is to help ensure that public health departments have the people, services, and systems needed to promote and protect health. The grant provides maximum flexibility so recipients can address their most pressing needs. We have chosen to flex a current public health strategist role and responsibility to include doing disease investigation for our communicable disease team.
So that money is primarily being used for that role?
I mean, that money does not have restrictions on it. So we are able to offset with expenses we already had. So, you know, a lot of sometimes our funding sources have specific reasons that that's for. This really is the offset, the cost of the health division. Now,
so you're saying it has very little restrictions. It's whatever you need to use it for.
Yes, and more of my concern is when it ends. So now we've got $100,000 we're putting in for the next 2-4 years. If that doesn't continue, then we're going to see that drop now go the other way. So that's more my concern when it ends.
That's my concern as well.
Yes.
that's where I was getting. Yes. So I always get concerned when temporary money is being invested in a position,
yeah,
or a service provided.
Yeah.
So we'll be planning for that in the future.
Yeah.
All right.
Right now, we didn't increase expenses for it. It literally is to cover expenses we already have. So it's helping us. However, yes, at some point we will have to. I'm hoping maybe they'll renew it. You know, now all the health divisions need it. Maybe they'll keep it going, but we don't know until it gets closer to that time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. One question. The home visiting public health nurse, is the reason we're replacing that just to decrease usage of that nurse? Is there more than one currently? What is the reasoning behind that?
Are you talking the replace the home visiting
yep.
with the public health strategist?
Yes.
Okay. I'll let Lori talk on that one.
That was a position that could flex between a nurse and a strategist, and at the time when they were hiring for this, it just made sense with the folks that we had to downgrade the position to a strategist.
So do we have other
yes
home visiting? So this isn't our only position that
no.
we're okay, so we have
no.
other people in
correct.
The seats. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Is there a motion? Motion by Supervisor Juhas, second by Supervisor Gearston. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Human Services Board?
Aye.
All right, all ayes.
All right, so our next division is the Division of Aging, Disability, and Behavioral Health Services. For this division, we are requesting a levy decrease of $65,000. The expenses, we have a decrease of $733,000, and the revenue, we have a decrease of $667,000. So in their section, we have the class and comp adjustment annual increase is $81,000. We are requesting two FTEs to be removed from a contracted service and added to a county service or into a county employee. It was kind of the APS was kind of already mixed. We already have some county and some contracted, so that was to help keep that continuity. So you'll see an increase in the expense of $201,000, but you'll see a decrease in the contracted services of $179,000, and then our increase of FTE count 2.0. For the state budget, we did receive some increases, adult protective services funding and resource center. Both of those received state budget increases. We put $50,000 in for each one. We are still waiting for final numbers on what that will actually be. And then other funding changes we have is the Independent Living Support Program. So we have it in for a partial year for 2023, so this is a full year. So that's an increase in your expense and your revenue, $194,000. We have an increase in revenue for the federal Title III Older Americans Act funding, $92,000. We have the Title III-C Older Americans Act funding, an increase of $36,000, an increase in expense of $29,000. Transportation funding, the 5311, is a decrease of revenue, $91,000, and a decrease in expense, $140,000. Our Comprehensive Community Support Program, we moved that into the DCFS budget in 2023, and we get reconciliation money a year or 2 years after, so that's reducing that revenue, $400,000. And then the ARPA funds we had in 2023 budget, we do not have in the 2024 budget, so that's a reduction of $280,000. We have a reduction in our institute placements, $773,000 for our contract with Lake Behavioral Health. We have a reduction in the Mental Health Resource Center, $102,000. A reduction in the Behavioral Health Clinic, $40,000. A reduction in the Information Assistance and Access, $49,000. A reduction in Behavioral Health, because of some clerical errors from 2023's budget that we found, $126,000. We have changes to the crisis billing. I have by state, but it really was federal changes. That decrease in revenue is $508,000. Expense decrease is $230,000. We have the 3% provider increase, $291,000. We added another subdivision for the opioid settlement funds. In here you'll see a 1.0 for the community education prevention position that was approved in 2023. That expense increase is $119,000 along with the revenue, $119,000. And then other programs for the opioid settlement, we have budgeted expense of $159,000 as well as the revenue, $159,000. That is the summary of what is in the aging and disability. Any questions on that budget?
Supervisor Gabicki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On line item two, that state budget funding increases, you had mentioned that that's like a moving target. We're still not sure what it's actually going to be. the $50,000 for each division there?
So at the time we put the budget together, we did not know. However, I did get an email 2 days ago on the adult protective services.
Yes.
And that one did increase $38,000. So we are about $12,000 short of what we actually put in the budget. The one for the resource center, I do not know what the state is going to roll out to us yet on that one.
Okay, so instead of 50, it's actually 38.
For the adult protective, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Gerson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to Tammy. So on item four, this Lake Behavioral Health, $772,000 levy reduction. Can you speak to that a little bit more? I know we did a lot of work on that, but that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's over $700,000 levy reduction to the budget, right?
Yes. So with the Lake Behavioral Health, the idea is we will have less people going and transporting up to Mendota and Winnebago, and that they will be going to Lake Behavioral Health hospital system. With the hospital placements, we do not get charged if there's insurances that cover it. So if they go to a hospital, it's a different way of funding versus an institute or an IMD. With the hospitals, we used to have beds with Ascension, St. Luke's, and Racine. I believe they started minimizing their beds or utilizing them for Racine. So, and I think we're starting to see the hospitals get more out of that. Now, like Behavioral Health has beds, we're able to utilize them. So they, as long as they're covered with Medicaid or other insurances, we don't get charged at all, which is normal for our hospital beds. And if they don't have insurance, then we would get charged a daily rate.
All right, motion by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Juhas. Any further discussion?
Thanks.
Supervisor Nadolski.
Again, with the 3% provider increase, some detail behind that? Line 10.
Sorry, I have a lot of what if documents. So for the aging and disability, we have an increase of $291,000. So the providers that are included in there are the Goodwill. We have the Adult Protective Services, but obviously we're gonna, if that gets approved, we will make that a county position. We've got Goodwill Prevention Services, Long-Term Care Workforce, Caregiver Support Coordinator, and Community Outreach. We also have in here the CAGE-DS, the Crisis, Bridges, Court Liaison, Resource Center, Care Center, Medicine Management, Behavioral Health Clinic, and Community Support Program. We have Corporate Guardianship and Easter Seals that does protective payment and guardianship, and Grace Guardian. We also have in here PSG for Comp Alcohol and Drug Treatment Program. We also have CAFASI in here. We have Volunteer Transportation, Senior Dining, Dementia Live Music Memory, Meals on Wheels, Friendly Visitor Program, Information Assistance and Access. And we also have KAC in here for Elder and Disability Benefit Assistance and the City Paratransit Services. We have Oakwood Clinical Associate for Outpatient Counseling and Westosha Senior Center.
Sounds like we have a lot of great partnerships. Thanks for the detail, and thanks for being so well prepared with the what ifs.
Okay, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Human Services Board?
Aye.
Okay, all ayes.
All right, so our next division is the Division of Children and Family Services. We have a levy increase of $30,000 or 0.3%, expense increase of $606,000 or 1.7%, and a revenue increase of $576,000 or 2.3%. So in this budget, you'll see the classic comp adjustment annual increase equated to $385,000. We have funding changes. So youth aids, we have an increase of $740,000. Our basic community aids allocation to the Office of the Director, we decreased $455,000. Our comprehensive community services is an increase in revenue, $247,000, and an increase in expense of $50,000. Then we have the 3% provider increase, $431,000. Our court-ordered placements, the Racine ACE rate went from $400 a day to $625 a day, so that was $739,000. And we decreased our corrections volume from five, an average of five, to 2.5, which is a decrease of $1 million. We had gang prevention in 2023 in there twice, so we had to fix that error, $64,000. We have the middle school and high school liaison. We have an increase in expense for $32,000. It is funded by KUSD for that increase, so you'll see the revenue increase, $32,000 as well. The liability insurance allocation is an increase of almost $13,000. And DCFS also received a new grant after we sent in these budgets, submitted our budgets, but that is a Youth Justice Innovation Grant. It's $100,000. So that would be, if we had it in our budget, it would be an increase in revenue and expense and levy neutral. And that's everything for Children and Family Services. Questions?
Through the chair to Tammy. We did a lot of strategic things last year to bring us to this budget to help us balance this budget. We just talked about the lakeside. We worked in the state budget to get the extra revenue for child support. We adopted the class and comp that helped us balance. The Brookside budget went from a $3.5 million deficit to budgeting a surplus in 2024. And a lot of strategic things. It looks like there's something we need to do strategically with this Racine ACE program. What do we have in the works for that?
So this ACE program stands for Alternatives to Corrections. So we also see our corrections reducing. So if, I know there was a change that happened with the court system to where they're not going directly to corrections. There's a step in between. So even though the ACE is increasing to $625 a day, it's still a lot less than the corrections cost per day. And I don't know if you want to talk more about that or better information.
Ultimately, Dave, the our supervisor, Gerson, the program will go away. There are facilities, Racine is constructing a facility, it's SRCCCY is the acronym, and it's Secure Residential Child Care Center or something to that effect for youth. They will be opening that in January of 25. When that opens up, ACE will then go away and become part of a programming option that they'll offer to kids that to keep them out of corrections, as corrections are slowly fading away and only really kids that have significant charges would be correctional eligible. So you're going to see an increase in this rate in 2025, because I can't imagine they're going to open a new facility and charge us less. And so we're expecting even more to hit the budget when 25 rolls around.
So when the new building is built and we place our kids in this new building in 2025, the rate will be even higher then?
I would suspect.
Is there anything strategic that we should be doing? Are our numbers declining so much that we can just tolerate the higher rate?
Well, I think, you know, having ongoing dialogue with Racine, and see what they're thinking about charging, and I know our two executives talk quite often, so hopefully we can negotiate a fair and decent rate for both counties.
My recall is they had a lot of ARPA money put into that building. Is that right?
I'm not sure what they're using for funding on that now. This process has been going on for some time now. The state introduced that concept a long time ago. Patty has her hand up, so we'll let her answer that.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not going to say the acronym right, but that they are not using ARPA funding for that building. They are also building a building for mental health services, and they're using ARPA funding for that building.
That's what I was remembering. This seems like it's a big enough issue to possibly queue up for a report in the future. What do you think?
I would agree.
It's up to the chair, but but thank you. I yield.
Thank you. Through the chair to Tammy. Tammy, can you just elaborate a little bit on line item 3, the $455,000 decrease for the basic community aids allocation to the Office of the Director?
Yes. So it's kind of a fix a little bit too. So we split the BCA. So we get two pots of BCA, one from the Wisconsin Human or Health Services and one from the Wisconsin Children and Family Services. And historically, we would give aging a portion and there would be this allocation. And a couple years ago, probably 2 or 3 years ago, we actually split that completely. And aging and disabilities budget, they get all of health services BCA funding, and DCFS gets all of DCFS funding. And it no longer gets allocated between the two. It's just easier to keep track of. However, when they split that, DCFS took all of BCA and DADS took all of their BCA, and nobody allocated to the Office of the Director. So we're kind of fixing that. Like, there still needs to be that allocation. And it didn't really come out because we've been absorbing it with the CCS reconciliation money. And so when we were putting our budgets together, there's a lot of 2023 fixes you see in there. We've been really working hard at getting a grasp. Obviously, we had a fiscal manager who was here for 30 years and passed away. So, getting through all that and fixing stuff. So,
thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the committee? Is there a motion? Motion by Supervisor Gearson, second by Supervisor Stocker. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Human Services Board.
Aye.
Aye.
All ayes. I believe that concludes our budget presentation review. Are there any comments from the committee members? Supervisor Guts.
I have a question. I made notes in my budget book, and I didn't get to transfer them over here. So could somebody give me an update on our prevention and education specialist, where that's going and how that has been doing since we started that?
Supervisor Guns.
Harry, right behind you, we'll give an update.
So the position was filled several months ago, currently doing the online training for Botman, the curriculum that we had discussed that we would potentially be using. We have adopted that through the efforts with the Sheriff's Department. Levi is now connected with all of the SROs west of the I and done a lot of meet and greets. Currently doing outreach with our schools until he is up and running with the curriculum, so we'll actually be available at Wilmont's Parent Teacher Conference and providing Narcan training and all education at the Parent Teacher Conference. Also working now with Central. Central is in a discussion of potentially adopting the Botman curriculum to put in with their health programs. So they're taking a look at now if they wanted to utilize Levi as providing the information or if they're going to adopt this into their school curriculum. So it's moving pretty quickly, much faster than we had expected, although I believe that this board and our division thought that was a high need, and so I thought that was very insightful, and again, can appreciate the opportunity to provide these services to our community enough, so thank you.
Yeah,
Yeah, I thought it would take off myself too, so I'm glad to hear that it's moving in the right direction and taking off. So
absolutely.
Thank you for the update.
That's all I have. Awesome. Any others comments?
I'd just like to thank Tammy for doing an outstanding job explaining 11 budgets tonight. I think that she did a wonderful, wonderful job explaining and answering all these questions as they came forward.
Yes, thank you very much. I will say this went a lot smoother than last year. I know last year we had to fumble laptops in one department at a time, so I know you guys are all happy. All right, any other comments?
Yeah, I just want to say it went so smooth. I didn't have to get on a rant or anything. I mean, this is way too easy. Thank you very much. Appreciate
real
it.
Group.
And the whole staff and everybody from Human Services. You are appreciated. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other businesses authorized by law? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
By Supervisor Juhas, second by Supervisor Kibicki. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Chicken dinner.